on-time God. Yes, he is. And what a blessing that he is. And what an appropriate song for this morning, for this morning's message. I tell you, George, I appreciate you selecting that song for today, because that is what our service will be revolving around this morning, recognizing that he is an on-time God. And Sister Illustrious, that verse that you read about weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That too will fit into what we're doing this morning. And we're doing something very different. And I had prepared a message and was all ready to deliver that message this morning. And at the 11th hour, I changed my mind and I'm delivering this message this morning. And next week, I will be delivering the message that I had intended to share this week, unless the Lord shuffles the deck again. And we'll see what happens, but that's the plan. But because this is Care Through Prayer Sunday, I thought what we would do this morning fits in totally, perfectly with what we will be doing a little bit later on. Let's take a moment and pray and ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we thank you that you are an on-time God. And we thank you that you do have a timetable. And we thank you that everything is working out in accordance with your will. And we thank you for allowing us to be a part of that will as we talk this month about partnership. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you are doing. Please bless your word and bless the words that I will be sharing with your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, March Madness is upon us. And for me, it is the most thrilling sports time of the year, even more than the Super Bowl, because the little guy has a chance to knock off the big guy. And it's full of surprises and excitement and passion. And I heard Jim Nance, who was one of the talking heads, he said it's his favorite time of the year. He covers sporting events around the calendar, but he said this is his favorite one. And it is a spectacle. The cheerleaders and the talking heads, the analysts, the script writers, the people that do the video productions, all of those things are a part of it. But you know, the event is larger than any individual part. And yet, without each individual part, the event would not be what it is. Somebody has to come up with those graphics that get your blood pumping when it comes on. Somebody has to write this stuff. You know, the cheerleaders have to practice. The fans have to drive there. Everybody's a part of it, and without everybody being a part of it, it's really nothing. And in the same way, what God is doing on the earth involves every single one of us. And without each one of us, it would not be the same. We've been talking about this every week. But our partnership goes beyond these doors. Our partnership is with God individually in our personal times with him. That is a part of our partnership. In fact, I would suggest that a critical part of our being able to function in the way that God has intended us to function comes from our connection with him. It comes from our sensitivity to him, our receptiveness to him, our responsiveness to him. It is through our relationship with him that we get a better understanding of what is our role in this big production, in this big thing that he's doing that is bigger than the parts but requires every part in order to be what it is. Each one of us is a big part of that. And so This morning, I want to talk about a different aspect of our partnership. There's our partnership individually with God. There's our partnership with one another in this room. And there is our partnership with brothers and sisters all around the world. We're all reading from the same Bible. We're all worshiping the same Lord. We all have the same Holy Spirit. God is coordinating His big thing through each one of us here, throughout the country, and throughout the world. And it is a spectacular thing that He is doing. It is greater than March Madness. So I want to talk to you about that. And if you're looking for a message title, this is kind of it. And you'll know what I mean when I say this. This is kind of it, but it's not really it. It's what in the world is God up to in 2022? What in the world is God up to in 2022? The text that I'd like you to turn to is Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to just read these verses and highlight a few phrases. Ephesians 1, 7 through 14. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him, verse 11, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Amen. Several phrases I'd like to highlight. It says that these things are to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. That's in verse 10. In verse 11, it says that He predestined us according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. In other words, with all that's going on, God is at work in all of this mess. And He is bringing all things into conformity with His will. It's like all of these wild horses of events are running in different directions. But the Lord is corralling them all and using them to further His purposes. Vladimir Putin does not know what forces he has set in motion. He does not know what an instrument of God he truly is. He may not be acting in accordance with what God wants him to do, but he is acting in accordance with what God knew he would do. And he may not be intending to be fulfilling God's purposes. That's the last thing on his mind, perhaps. But it's the first thing on God's mind. Because, as it says, he is working all things into conformity with his will. You see, Mr. Putin pushed a boulder down a hill, down a mountain, with a target in view. But as you know, if you've ever pushed a boulder down a mountain, it doesn't roll directly towards your target. There are bumps and things along the way that changes the course of that boulder and sets other things in motion. And nobody is really in control of where that thing is going, and nobody knows what other things it's going to hit on the way down. In all the news that we're hearing and all of the chaos that we see unfolding on the news that makes us all scratch our head and wonder what in the world is going on, we're hearing it from the secular media. There is a perspective that we're not hearing nearly enough. And that is the perspective of God's people who are literally under fire in this mess. What is happening in the churches there? What is happening in the minds of these believers collectively? What's happening in their hearts individually? How are they processing this? How is this impacting their faith? So today, I'm going to share with you the perspective of one of the pastors in Ukraine. He addressed his congregation on February 27th, which was 3 days after the invasion. And I want you to hear his words and what he said to his congregation of brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the thick of what is going on, to give us just a taste of the perspective of those who are in it and hopefully show us how connected we are in God's great purpose with our brothers and sisters around the world. And after his words, with this being Care Through Prayer Sunday, we're going to be uniting in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and for the world in general, because we are literally in a place where we are teetering on the precipice of unknown possibilities. So this is a message that was given by our brother, Reverend Serge McKesky, and he's of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ukraine. And this is what he said to his congregation on that day. Ukraine is on fire. Trouble has come to our land. On February 24th, war broke out. Terrible, horrible, despicable. Automatic rifles shooting, bombing with grenades, bombing with missiles, sirens, curfews. All of this has become our reality. The dead, the wounded, the tens of thousands of refugees, a terrible reality. And now we hear the Lord's words to his disciples with special clarity and in a whole new way. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, Jesus said. And all that is written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. The Lord knew what awaited him in Jerusalem. He knew he would be betrayed to the Gentiles, that he would be mocked, insulted, humiliated, spit upon, crowned with thorns on his forehead, and killed. He knew about the cross of Calvary. Jesus' heart was filled with fear, but he still goes to Jerusalem, going to offer himself as the sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the world, going to bring peace to men. And now we, in the Holy Spirit, follow with Jesus the way of his suffering and death. The apostles could not imagine what the words meant: betrayed, abused, insulted, spit upon, beaten, and killed. Why does this have to happen? What does it mean? Isn't there a way to avoid it? Why is God willing to suffer such a fiasco? The disciples didn't understand. Their hopes for the future were crumbling. Fear settled in their hearts, just as in our hearts now. A war has broken out, and we don't understand God's ways. Why? Why? How did God allow this to happen? We go through fear, panic, frustration. Why did this have to happen to us? Why Kharkiv? Why Kiev? Why Kherson? Why? It took the apostles some time to grasp the meaning of what Jesus had said and done. The Spirit of God had to illumine their minds and hearts. And then they began to preach. This was the only possible way for us to be saved. At some time, it will also become clear to us why God leads us in such a strange way. And we will testify God's way is for good. God's way is for good. We have no illusions. Our church has experienced persecution and pursuit from the state before. We know and remember how, on the orders of the German embassy, the Ukrainian government services destroyed our congregations. We know the hypocrisy, the deceitfulness, and the meanness of our state officials. But we clearly distinguish the current government from our people, from our country. And now the aggression is committed not against the authorities of Ukraine, but against her people and we, the church, with our children, with our brothers and sisters. We are on guard and ready to defend our homeland to the last drop of blood. Are we afraid? Yes. Do we retreat? No. And we believe that God keeps and protects us. And it is no coincidence that in our gospel passage, we encounter two such different stories: Christ's prediction of his suffering and death, and the healing of a sick man. The blind man teaches us to see. He hears Jesus of Nazareth passing by and cries out, shouts even, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The disciples silence him, but he cries even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Christ is at the center of his life. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Lord asks, "What do you want from me?" He says, "Lord, that I may see." Jesus says to him, "See, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you." And he immediately received his sight and followed him, praising God. This is how the blind man, the sick man, meets the God who has mercy and heals. A God who does not pass by, but hears the cry for help. A God who, in suffering himself, hastens to show mercy to those who cry out to him. Our crucified Lord is no stranger to our pain. He is no stranger to our need. He is no stranger to our despair. He is no stranger to our fear. He is no stranger to our weakness. Our crucified God overcame death and overcame hopelessness. He did all this for us. He walked this road to become the one who can save, the one who can help in any situation. At any time, he gives us a blessing and a future. He rewards us with a full life. And we believe the Lord will help us in our struggle. The Lord will not leave us, but will overcome everything with us. Therefore, fear goes away. Therefore, fear goes away, and we look boldly into the present and with hope into the future. And blindness goes away, and we see. We see. We see. Those are the words of our brother. Those are the words he spoke to the Lord's people who are under fire. That is the perspective that the Lord gave this brother to share with his people. All is not lost. Even though buildings may be crumbling, even though fires may be erupting, even though explosions may be happening in your very neighborhood, all is not lost. The same Jesus who said, "See, be healed," the same Jesus who spoke those words to the storm, to nature itself, that same Jesus is with us over there in Ukraine. He's not looking from above. He is with them in the midst. He is in the shelters with them. And this brother is trying to help them to understand, we are not alone in this. We are not alone in this. And they do not know us, but they are not alone in this because we are partners with them. We are brothers and sisters with them. We are members of the same body. We have the same spirit. We have the same Lord. And he and that congregation are looking to the same Lord that we look to week after week, morning after morning. And God is faithful. And so I believe that this brother, if he was here today, he would say, do not feel sorry for us. Do not feel sorry for us. Pray for us. Partner with us. Pray that our faith would not fail. Pray that we would receive the Lord's comfort in the midst of this. Pray that we would see the same Jesus that that blind man saw. Pray that we would cry out despite the deafening sounds around us that tell us to be quiet. God's not listening to you. Don't you hear those bombs? Don't you see that fire? Don't you see the devastation? Boom, boom. Jesus, Son of David, we want to see. We want to see. We want to see something beyond the destruction, beyond what the world sees. We want supernatural vision from you in this place. We want to be able to see beyond and above what is evident. We have no illusions. We know what's happening. We see it. But oh, give us sight that we may see beyond what we see. That we may have the supernatural sight that comes from the touch of the living God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Put the mud on our eyes. Help us, Jesus, in this hour. Give us this day our daily bread. Deliver us from worrying about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Help us, Lord. That same Jesus. Hallelujah. There's something about that name. There's no shame in his game. He knows what he's doing. And he knows how much we can bear. And he knows what we need. When we need it. Exactly. You know why? Because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. That's why. He's an on-time God in real time. In our time. In these times. He's an on-time God. He is faithful. And his faithfulness reaches to the heavens. And these brothers and sisters are seeking him. They are trusting him. They are looking to him. They are believing in the one whom God has sent. They are doing the work. This is the work, to believe in the one whom he has sent. That is their heart. That is their focus. And we want to join them. And we are going to join them in prayer. And what we're going to do is I'm going to have Sister Sweetheart come up. And we are going to begin with prayer. And then we're going to take a few moments. And for those of you out there listening, we're going to take a few moments to give you time to individually seek the Lord on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and around the world. Around the world, as this has global impact. You know, the brothers and sisters with the sanctions that are weighing heavily upon the Russian government and on the country. There are brothers and sisters in Russia who are impacted by that. See, so there are dear saints in Russia. And we need to pray for them too. Not just Ukraine. But for our dear brothers and sisters who are saying, Lord, what is going on? just like those in Ukraine. And so we're going to take some time to pray and ask God to continue to reassure us. You see, in some ways, it's not about asking God to do something. Because God's doing it. He's doing it. Now, we influence him with our prayer. So we do ask, Lord, give grace, give mercy, give peace, give provision, give what you need to give for where they are. We join and we partner in prayer. But in a lot of ways, what is more important is that the Lord opens our eyes to see his provision and open our hearts to receive his care and his grace that the scripture says is abundant. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. The scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but along with the temptation will give you the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Endure it. And so we pray. We ask the Lord together to console, to comfort, to open the eyes of our brothers and sisters so that they can see, like Elisha's servant, all of the guards stationed on the hills, all the angel messengers, the angel warriors on the hills. Because he's an on-time God. And with all this chaos, all this mess, there is order. Oh, there's somebody in charge. Who's minding the store? Somebody bigger than you and I. So we're going to take some time.